This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Donegal's 800 metres runner Mark English is in the form of his life as he breaks his Irish record yet again this week. Ahead of next month's World Athletics Championships, we'll get the reasons behind this Indian summer on the track from Finn Valley Athletic Club's Patsy McGonagall. Sligo's Nicole Fowley is going to the Rugby World Cup with Ireland. We'll hear from the Drumcliff woman on her squad selection this week. And it's the opening weekend of the men's and women's club football championships in Leitrim. We'll preview the opening round of games in both the Sweeney Oil Senior Women's and Connacht Gold Senior Men's Championships. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. Here are the contact details if you want to get in touch. 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text, and the email address sport@oceanfm.ie. Also coming up, Sligo Rovers manager John Russell on Friday night's FAI Cup last 16 tie against Bohemians at Dalyman Park. But first, you could be forgiven for thinking that a doctor from Letterkenny at the age of 32 might be slightly past his best when it comes to running the 800 metres at elite international level, given that the distance is increasingly seen as one for so-called younger athletes. But the fact is, Donegal's Mark English is in the form of his life. He's never been running better or faster than he is now. To underline that fact, he's run his six fastest 800 metres times in the last 10 weeks alone. The latest coming on Tuesday evening in Budapest in Hungary, where English shaved half a second off his current Irish record when finishing second in the race behind a Kenyan athlete. Mark's new time, 1 minute 43.37 seconds. This in a year which has already seen him win a 10th national senior outdoor 800 metres title and win European indoor bronze in the Netherlands back in March. So where has this Indian summer come from? Finn Valley Athletic Club's Patsy McGonagall spoke to Ocean FM following Mark's run on Tuesday in Hungary.
If we roll back a little bit, he changed coaches back in the autumn time and he's with a guy called Rinaldi now, an Australian. That has worked particularly well. And then the combination of his training, that's the coach's training input into the whole thing, plus the training group that he's now in, seems to have a very, very positive effect. Plus, other elements to it, you know, tweaking his training, of course, altitude has been a big factor. In fact, as we speak today, he's after last night in Budapest, I just booked him in a few minutes ago back to the Sierra Nevada mountains for altitude again until the 4th of September. So, you know, that's his racing over now until the World Championships. So, a combination of many things, really. And, you know, but the coach Rinaldi has been a big influence and has brought changes that have made a big impact. And to emphasize, altitude plus the training group.
Mark English is 32 years old now. You know, there might be a perception out there that is surely slightly past your best when it comes to elite level running. But clearly, that's not the case.
No, that simply isn't the case. And I suppose in many ways, maybe Mark, you know, he didn't anticipate it to that extent either. But look, once he got on a roll, you know, it began to work for him, and his confidence is driven sky high. He's really confident. He's in the best shape of his life, and yes, 32 years of age, of course, and experience as well. You know, all that racing scene around the world. You know, moving from place to place and racing. He's also very, very fortunate in that Ricky Sims has the ability to get him into the key races. As per last night, you know, Budapest, that would be a very difficult thing. And that's a key element of athletics at that level. If you can't get into the serious level races, then you won't be pulled through or you won't get there. So basically, he's been very lucky with Ricky as well. He's also a member, of course, of Finn Valley as well. So look, that all that element of things has worked out extremely well for him.
And having him in a Finn Valley Athletic Club singlet as well at this stage of his career is a nice home feather in the cap.
Absolutely, and it's a Donegal connection. It's a big Donegal connection, and he's proud of that fact right now, and it's working for him extremely well. It's working for him extremely well, and it's brilliant for the profile of the sport locally as well, of course.
One final thought, Patsy. His next target, of course, will be the World Athletics Championships in Tokyo this September. The 800 metres is a very complex distance race. I mean, nominally it's a distance race, but effectively it's a sprint discipline on the track right now, and it's something that he has mastered so, so well.
Well, he has, and he was very annoyed with himself a couple of weeks back when he didn't engage early on in the race. Now that then, the outcome last night was he got involved in the race right at sharp end of the race, right from the word go, and that brought him through to a very, very, very fast time with the Kenyan woman, of course. But he's finishing very, very strongly in those races, and what now? Well, I would imagine he's never been in a world or Olympic final. And I mean, that would be where he wants to be come September,
That's Patsy McGonigal from Finn Valley AC. Tuesday night's time, incidentally, also qualifies Mark automatically for next year's European Championships in Birmingham. His more immediate priority, the 2025 World Athletics Championships in Tokyo. They start on the 13th of September. Now, the Ireland Women's Rugby World Cup squad was named on Monday for the 2025 tournament, which will start in England in 8 days' time. And a Sligo woman is in the final 32. Out half Nicole Fowley has made the squad. She's been telling Ocean FM Sport this week about how she heard she was in.
We got a phone call from the head coach, Scott Beaman, just letting you know whether you'd made the squad or not, I suppose, and everyone was kind of anxious waiting for that call. But yeah, I'm just delighted to have got to go ahead now and been selected for it.
When we didn't see your name in the match day squads for the two warm-up games against Canada and Scotland, we might have wondered, is she injured? Has she fallen down the pecking order? Had you a better sense that you were in the mix?
I did pick up a little calf tear there during pre-season, so It's well underway on the mend. It's pretty much ready to go. I wasn't fully sure whether I was still going to be selected or not, so I suppose it was a nervous time for me. But he's reassured me that he'd love to have me in the squad. So yeah, I'm ready to go and excited to get started against Japan on the 24th.
4 years ago, Ireland missed out on the World Cup. Was there ever a stage you wondered if this opportunity might pass you by?
I suppose there probably would have been inside. Yeah, definitely. They don't come around very often. And as you said, we obviously didn't qualify for the last one. So I suppose that's what makes this one even a little bit more special. And it'll definitely be my last hurrah, I suppose. So yeah, it's an exciting one. I'm really looking forward to it now.
And lovely to be part of the World Cup build-up now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look, it's been a tough pre-season and we're just all excited to get started now and get off to England and get our base in Northampton for the first 2 weeks and then head down to Brighton for the pool games.
Which include matches against Spain, the Japanese, as you've mentioned, and New Zealand. Nobody said this World Cup was going to be easy, Nicole.
No, definitely not. I think we're just going to be taking it one game at a time. I know it's probably cliche, but it's probably the right way to do it. So first up is Japan and just big focus on that now going into next week as we head over there. Yeah, Japan first and then Spain and then New Zealand. So take each game as it comes.
And the video that the IRFU made announcing the 37 strong squad, Nicole, featured some pictures and footage of each squad member in their younger playing years. And I think it showed an image of you playing for the Erskine College. So that's quite a sporting journey for you from playing in secondary school to playing for the Ireland Rugby World Cup team now.
Yeah, it was a lovely little media piece done by the IRFU and the production team there. It was, yeah, myself playing for the Erskine back in the day. I think it was a senior game with the Erskine. I think it was actually against the Roscommon team, a stroke team. That photo looks very familiar. Those were great days back in the Erskine days. So delighted to they showcased that photo as well, bring me back to my roots.
And finally, you're one of a couple of Connacht players in the team. It's a nice feather in the cap at representative level as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's great to see that the numbers growing each year and representing Connacht. It just shows that the game is definitely growing in Connacht as well. And it's great to see so many internationals making this World Cup squad now. Like, it's been a tough slog over the last couple of years for everyone. So, it's a proud day.
One final thought. This is a fast enough start to the World Cup. It's just 2 weeks away. Do you prefer that? Do you and the team prefer that you don't have too long to be hanging around?
Definitely, yeah. It's been a long pre-season here in Ireland and Dublin, so excited to get going, get over to England and get into next week is match week against Japan, so yeah, get our heads down for that and get focused on that one.
Nicole Fowley on her Ireland Rugby World Cup selection this week. ATU Sligo graduate Cliona Maloney MacDonald is also in the squad. The tournament begins on the 22nd of this month, 8 days' time. Ireland's opening pool match against the Japanese is in Northampton on Sunday week, the 24th of August. We've got live FAI Cup soccer for you this Friday night on Ocean FM. Sligo Rovers go to Derryman Park to take on Bohemians in the last 16 of the competition. Rovers on loan midfielder James McManus can't play in the game because it's against his parent club. Preserving their Premier Division status is the obvious priority for Rovers at the moment, but that doesn't mean manager John Russell will be holding back tomorrow night.
Everyone's start of the season looking at the FAI Cup and trying to get a run, and we're no different. This club has a real history of doing well and getting to cup finals, so it's brilliant that we've got an opportunity tomorrow night. We know it's a tough tie, but if we're at our best and we play well, we'll give ourselves a chance. We've shown that home away we can beat anyone, and we're really looking forward to the game now.
Sligo Rovers fans like to think they're a cup team, and probably I think 2019 was the last time they reached the business end in terms of a semi-final. Rovers have kind of struggled in the cup in recent years. Is there any particular reason why that might be in your mind?
I think there's various factors each season. You know, I think the first year when I was manager, we came off the back of the York Green game, and it was a mistake in extra time that cost us the game. So look, there's moments. Whether you're a Premier Division or First Division team, cup competitions, a moment can change a game. And we know that even going into tomorrow. And for us, it's probably a welcome thing that we've got a tough game and a tough tie, because maybe the last couple of years people would look at it and say we've fallen out against First Division opposition. So tomorrow there'll be no excuses in terms of our approach, players' mentality. And as I said, it'll be about how we play tomorrow.
You moved pretty quick to get Paddy McLean's red card overturned. Was that a formality in the end?
I suppose it's never a formality. You're just hoping that the right decision was made. It was difficult on the night. I think that's been a pleasing aspect, the last two decisions being overturned, because I suppose in previous campaigns and when these decisions go against you, it's a double whammy, because you lose the game and then you lose the play of the following game. I think if we had Paddy McLean on the pitch against St. Pat's for 90 minutes, we don't lose the game. I know it's easy to say that, but I do believe that. And look, thankfully, he's available for the Waterford League game. And we have to take on the chin the last game. We without 10 men, we lost it.
On who is fit for tomorrow, will you have Jad Hakiki available?
Yeah, we're hoping that that Jad can make the game tomorrow. We were hoping that the Pats game, we might get a back in, but unfortunately it was a bit too early. So hopefully he'll be involved tomorrow.
Sligo Rovers boss John Russell and Bohemians against Rovers will be live in full this Friday night on Ocean FM Sport from 7:45. That's courtesy of Henry's Bar and Restaurant in Cashelgarran. When we come back after the break, we throw the ball in on Leitrim Women's and Men's Senior Club Football Championships, which both begin this weekend. Still to come, we look ahead to the 2025 Sweeney Oil Leitrim LGFA Club Championships, which start this weekend. But first to the Men's Connacht Gold Senior Football Championship, which begins on Friday. Just 8 teams remember in the senior championship in Leitrim this year, and we're going to look at the 4 round 1 matches now with our regular Leitrim analyst, Martin McGowan. To remind you, the teams play four round-robin matches in the Senior Championship. At that point, the top two clubs will qualify directly for the semi-finals. The teams placed third to sixth contest to quarter-finals. Well, Martin begins his preview with Friday's blockbuster opener, a repeat of last year's county final, Mohill against Ballinamore Sean O'Heslins.
Based on the league form, I would say Sean O'Heslins would probably be relishing that game a little bit more. Over the last number of years, there's been very little to choose between the two teams, as was evidenced in the county finals last year. The first game ended in a draw and the second game going to a draw and extra time and penalties. I mean, like, there was a hair's breadth between the two teams, to be honest. So, you know, I would say in that time, I suppose, you know, Mohill's injury list has been well documented. Keith Keegan hasn't played a game for them really since the last Leitrim game against Tipperary. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he has actually made his way back in there, because he's a key figure for Mohill and has been down through the year. He had an outstanding year for Leitrim, certainly will be a contender for player of the year for the Leitrim seniors this year. I thought he's a marvellous year for them. Sean O'Heslins, on the other hand, I suppose they went through the league reasonably well. They were in contention, you know, and they were one of the few teams up until the second last game in the league. They were one of the few teams that were in with a chance of making the league final, but they lost their second last game and that kind of ruled them out of the league, and they had nothing to play for on the last day. So last week, or 2 weeks ago, when they played their last game, you know, it was a dead rubber for them, you know. But that being said, they've been missing Paul Honeyman, and Tom Pryor obviously was abroad. Now, I hear Tom Pryor may be back in Ireland. It'll be interesting to see, does he play some role on Friday evening? But I do expect, probably with the injuries that Mohill have had, you know, the difficult start to the season they had, it might just take them a bit of a while to get on the roll. I think Ballinamore would probably have a slight edge here in this game.
Might motivation be a factor for Mohill, Martin, given that they put so much work into winning back-to-back county titles?
Yeah, and you know, it was something that they hadn't achieved. Like, Mohill were in the hunt in nearly every championship for the last 12 to 15 years. They've been outstanding. This team owe absolutely nothing to Mohill at all. They've been absolutely outstanding, an outstanding bunch of players, you know, right from 2006, I think, or 2007, when they won their first championship after a long break. They've been a contender nearly every year since. And some of those players, you know, some of those players have been there quite a while, you know, and have been given great service to me also, or to Mohill. But, you know, I mean, there should be no need to motivate yourself for championship. The league was the league. They avoided relegation. They did what they had to do. And really their whole focus would be coming and trying to achieve something that very few teams have done. You know, Manor Hamilton over the last 30, 40 years are the only team nearly to have done three in a row. So, I mean, with that, I wouldn't have done it back in the early 90s as well. So, I mean, you know, very few teams, you know, manage to have that dominance on a championship, and that should be their motivation, you know. So the league, therefore, would have been just a matter of getting through it, and after that, then, it's just of getting all their ducks in a row for the championship.
Well, you mentioned Glencar Manor Hamilton, the North Leitrim club host, one of the contenders for the FINA Cup this year, undoubtedly. That's St Mary's, who have just retained their Division 1 league title, and Glencar Manor, let's remind ourselves, have just been relegated from the top tier of league football. So does this fixture speak for itself?
On the face of it, you would say yes. But what people have to remember is that the last round of league games was played in Bogán between Manor Hamilton and St Mary's. And both teams had a lot to play for on the day. St Mary's were trying to make the league final and Manor were trying to avoid relegation. And it was a nip and tuck sort of a game that could have gone anyway. I don't think it's going to be as much of a foregone conclusion as people think it is. I think this game will be quite tight. I think Manor's have shown signs of improvement. Obviously, Barry McNulty's been away for most of the league. I'm not sure if and when Barry is back from Chicago, but when he does come back, it'll be a big fillip to Manor Hamilton's ambitions in the championship this year. But as it stands at the moment, you would have to give St Mary's the edge based on probably greater strength and depth within their squad at the moment. definitely there's a good influx of young players coming in Manor Hamilton. And, you know, I suppose what they will definitely be trying to do is they'll be trying to stay in senior for the next couple of years, because they had a magnificent under 17 team last year, a very good one the year before. So, I mean, they're going to be trying to hold it for all those guys to come through and join the Barry McNulty's and James Rooney's of this world that are with the Leitrim seniors at the moment. And, you know, maybe push on for a senior championships again in the near future.
Melvin Gaels are back in senior football, Martin, having won arguably the most dramatic intermediate football final in living memory. I'm sorry to bring that up, given that I'm talking to a
I don't need reminding you. Yeah, absolutely.
They're playing Leitrim Gaels on Saturday. How do you think the Kinloch men will cope with the jump back up to senior football?
This is going to be a very difficult task for Melvin Gaels. You know, we all know the heart that the Melvin Gaels players have about them, and they showed that in spades in that last 7 minutes. And let's be honest about it, 99% of the people, including probably a lot of the Melvin Gaels people, that game looked a lost cause with 4 or 5 minutes to go. But it didn't look a lost cause to the players on the field. And that's what you have to remember. That's what counts, is the players on the field. So, I mean, while this, on the face of it, will look like, you know, an ideal opportunity for Leitrim Gaels to get a good start in the championship. There's been a lot of talk around Leitrim Gaels, you know, in the championship this year. They've been made favourites with some bookies for the championship. They've had the influx of the three Joneses there. And, you know, I've seen them recently in a league game against Fianna, and there was absolutely nothing to pick between those two teams. And I think, realistically, Leitrim Gaels are going to be contenders for the championship this year. I spoke to earlier today to somebody. We were just talking about the Leitrim Championship and that. You know, we talked about when your time comes, you have to be able to grab that chance with both hands. You know, is this the time for Leitrim Gaels to grab their opportunity? You know, we'll see on Saturday evening how they go in that game against Melvin Gaels. It certainly won't be an easy game to start off with, and they will have to work hard to win it, but I do give them an edge, and a good edge I would give them over Melvin Gaels at the moment.
The fourth round one game is Fianna St. Caillians against Aughawillan. Fianna were semi-finalists last year, Martin, as you know. They won the league 2 years ago. They pushed St. Mary's to extra time in the Division One decider a couple of weekends ago. They always look to me as a team on the runway, ready to take off in Leitrim. Could this be the year?
And that's what I was referring to earlier on. I was talking to somebody else about when your chance comes, you have to take it. And I would say for Fianna St. Caillians, you know, they have a wonderful mixture of young and experienced players. And I think the time is now for them. You know, I think they have to grab it with both hands when they get the opportunity. Certainly, you know, they won't have it all their own way, you know, in the game at the weekend. But certainly I would make them, as for me, one of the picks of the championship. But there always are three or four teams that are going to be in with a shout for winning the championship. The one caution I would have for Fianna is you never, ever rule out Aughawillan. You do it at your peril. Aughawillan are an unbelievable championship team. They're a magnificent club. They have served their community so well, those players, down through the years, with teams that maybe haven't looked like they were good enough to win championships, but they always seem to be able to find a way to do it. And that's what you really admire about Aughawillan. I talked about the heart of Melvin Gaels a few minutes ago. Well, Aughawillan are a club that have heart and spades. And if Fianna are to get over the line and win a championship this year, they're going to have to start probably with a good win at the weekend. That's not going to be easy. You know, Aughawillan are a very proud club, but I do give Fianna an edge there in that game.
One general point, do you think reducing the number of senior championship teams in Leitrim from 10 last year to 8 this year is going to improve the quality?
Yeah, I do. I do, absolutely. And the CCC in Leitrim came with that proposal before the county a couple of years ago. Now, the full proposal, it's not fully finished yet. We've another year to get all the structures in place, because eventually what's going to happen is we're going to have 8 senior teams and we'll have 8 intermediate teams as well. And the idea behind that is to try and improve the standards within the club championship. What we've had is, over the last number of years, and I suppose what we've had really is we've had a gap, and a rather large gap between the 4 or 5 teams that were contending and the others. And even then, the two or three teams, like there was teams surviving, there were teams surviving in the senior, and for want of a better word, they just weren't up to that standard. Not yet. You know, so teams were getting a free pass because maybe there was somebody just weaker than them that year, but they were still going to be too weak to win a senior championship. And ideally what you want, Austin, is you want all eight teams competing hard for it. I think you're going to see that in the senior championship this year. As I said, you know, there's very few games where you're given a crystal clear advantage to any one team. You know, as I said, St Mary's have a slight edge over Manor, but I do think that'll be a tight enough game. I think Fianna will have a tight game also with Arwill, and I do give them an edge there. I think Leitrim Gaels probably are the team that might have the biggest advantage over the weekend, and then you could flip a coin really between Ballinamore and Fianna, but I would be giving Ballinamore an edge on their league performances. And ultimately, that's really what we want to see. We want to see competitive games because that raises the standard throughout the county. And then the other side to that too is once we get down to eight teams in the intermediate, that will raise the standard in the intermediate. And, you know, what you would hope to see as a side effect from that is our club teams being better prepared to go forward and participate in the championship. There are teams maybe over the last number of years that have won championships based on having three or four very easy games and very big wins and that. And maybe they got their win because they've had an easy run to the championship. Maybe they didn't pick up injuries in tighter, more tougher games, for want of a better word than that. So I think ultimately in the long run, I think this will best serve Leitrim football by bringing both championships down to eight teams.
Well, let's finish with the Smith Monumentals Intermediate Championship, Martin, which will be reduced at the end of this season from 10 teams currently to 8 clubs for next year, which means 3 intermediate teams are going to be relegated to junior football at the end of this championship. So that's going to make it a real bun fight. We have just 6 of the 10 teams playing this weekend. One of them is your beloved Alan Gales, beaten finalist last year, standout Division 2 league side this season, winning the Division 2 league title. You can put your rosary beads in your hands before you answer this final question, but they do look like the team to beat, Martin.
Look, I mean, anybody who's not making them favourites is really talking tongue-in-cheek in that they have to be the favourites for the championship. I suppose last year, for 55 minutes, you know, they looked like intermediate champions all over. But the game isn't played over 55 minutes, it's played over 60. And that was a tough lesson for those players to learn. And I suppose they have come back with renewed vigour this year. The same management has stayed in place. James Flynn is there as manager again, which is great. James a lifelong player for Alan Gales, a great servant to the club, you know. And, you know, he would have been as hurt as any player would have been by the result last year. But they took it on the chin. They came back, they refocused, and they put in some wonderful performances in the league. But what I would say in caution to that is, the league is the league, you know, and championship football takes on a life of its own. And it was great to win the league last week, but now they're facing into the prospect of playing for the third week in a row. Gortletter have had a break. I know Alan Gales, on the face of it, had a very facile win over Gortletter, but just as much as Aughwillan are a very difficult team to beat, so it can be said about Gortletter too. You know, a very proud rural club. It's a big parish, a big area and that, but it's a rural club and that. And they really they've done some marvellous work within the Gortletter club. I mean, just to go up and look at their new grounds, the new pitch that they've built. They're currently in the process of floodlighting the pitch and putting in a stand, and they've very ambitious plans for a new dressing room and a new dressing rooms and a new gym and centre there right beside the pitch. So, I mean, they're a club that's definitely on the up, and they're going the right way. They're doing a lot of good work at underage. They're together with Ryn Gales, and they've become a factor in all the underage championships in Leitrim now. Ryn Gales, Gortletter and Bourne Acoola together. So it's not going to be as easy a task as it was in the league, I believe, for Alan Gales. I absolutely, and they'll probably curse me for saying it, but you have to make them favourites for the championship, and you have to give them the advantage at the weekend as well.
That's Martin McGowan on this weekend's men's senior and intermediate club championship games in Leitrim. Full throw-in times are available on leitrimgaa.ie. And alongside the men, the Leitrim LGFA Sweeney Oil Senior, Intermediate and Junior Championships begin. They were launched under the town clock in Carrick-on-Shannon. PJ Leddy, our reporter, was there for Ocean FM Sport, and he spoke with some of the players, and first to Leitrim LGFA Chairperson, Cathy Butler.
Clancarmen or Hamilton, you know, defending their five in a row and going for six in a row, and St Joseph's, who've, you know, topped the league in the group stages and are, you know, really setting out their stall. So, you know, like those types of competitive pieces to start off with, and it's going to be really really tightly contested. And like, I suppose the leagues are a little bit different in that there are so many girls maybe in America and J1s and whatnot. So, you know, we'll see the real picture when championship starts, and it'll you know, teams will have their full cohort available to them. And, you know, and like, we've had a lot of change from across the clubs, you know, with transfers and with girls going to Australia and whatnot, and girls unavailable this year for various reasons. So, you know, across, again, all three divisions, we've seen changes, and that's, again, bringing a little bit of excitement and something a bit different. So, yeah, it's really...
You have a new sponsor coming on board, Sweeney Isle, this year. That's a big boost to the county board.
Oh, it's a huge boost, and we're really delighted to welcome our partners, Sweeney Oil, to the competition. You know, it's something we had thought about over the last number of years, and it's, you know, these things take time, and, you know, it's, I suppose, we're constantly, you know, we're volunteers and trying to get time to you know, make these connections and make these partnerships work or set them up, you know, which is always a challenge. But we're so appreciative of all the support we get across the county from, you know, like the amount of support and sponsorship we've gotten from across all of our county teams and county squads this year. We're really appreciative of it. But it's just fantastic to have Sweeney Oil on board for our championships. And, you know, it gives us, you know, a brand and sets us a little bit apart from where we were in previous years, while we, you know, we had used Gotham as our sponsor across the entire entity. But it's nice to have a club championship sponsor this year, and we're really delighted to have you know, that Jason and John and the company have, you know, seen the value in the product that we have and that we are, and we're delighted to have them on board, and we're really appreciative of their support. The games are kicking off Sundays at 11 or at 4 typically, and the competitions are starting on the 17th of August. We'll have three rounds played by the end of the month, and then there's mostly a break the first weekend in September, and then we've got two more rounds, and then we'll be into semi-finals and finals. So kind of from the middle of August to the middle of October, it's going to be hell for leather, and there'll be any amount of football to be watched. And, you know, we really would appreciate, you know, people to just get out and support the ladies, support your neighbours, and you know, the talent is immense, and, you know, we've seen that across, you know, I suppose, again, across the leagues and across the underage championships, you know, the you know, youth that is coming through, and then the blend of you know, youth and experience and across the clubs, and you know, it's really exciting to see what's coming next, you know.
Dervla Rooney, you're here in Carrick and Shannon for Glencairn Manor Hamilton. You have five championships under your belts in a row, which is a huge achievement for Glencairn Manor Hamilton. You're going for a sixth. You're looking forward to the forthcoming Sweeney Isle Leitrim Senior Football Championships.
Yeah, look, we can't wait to get going now. We've set ourselves up nicely through the Spring League and the League. We're just building towards championship now and excited to get going.
And you've had a good league campaign. It's a good preparation for the championship.
Exactly, yeah, we've players gone, and we've new players joining, we've a new management team, so we're trying different things, and yeah, we're just looking forward to seeing how it's going to come together. We've probably, in my opinion, one of the fittest that we've been in the last few years. We had a 2 month gap there without games between leagues, so yeah, just excited to get going now for championship.
And in this Glencairn Manor Hamilton team, you're probably one of the more experienced players, but you have lots of other talented players in the team, and you're going to be defending the title like it was nobody else's. It's nobody else's title.
No, 100%. Like, there's so many leaders on the team, and everyone brings so much experience. And then there's younger girls that are coming up, and they're bringing something different as well, and learning from the older girls. So it's a really nice mix. Yeah.
And you're hoping, obviously, that you will put the sixth championship in the bag and create a new record in Glencairn Manor Hamilton football history and Leitrim football history with six titles, and go forward to contest the Connacht Championship again.
Yeah, look, it would be phenomenal if we could do that. Every year it's getting harder and harder. The standard of football in Leitrim is just rising every year. So if we could do it for the 6th year in a row, it'd be amazing. And I've full confidence in our team that we can. But you never know what way the championship is going to go. The other girls have been, the other teams have been knocking on our door as well. So we just have to focus on ourselves and focus on each game as it comes.
Obviously, with Leitrim winning the Leitrim or the All Ireland Intermediate Championship last year, the standard in Leitrim is very high.
Yeah, exactly it. And it's just brilliant for us to be able to play alongside the girls that have been on that team, and it makes us improve, and for the younger girls to see what ladies football can do as well. It just brings on more players every year, so it's fantastic.
And in the championship and group stages, obviously all the 6 teams are in the one group, but you have to play each other. Home games are very important.
Exactly, every game is really important. Obviously it's nicer to be playing on your home pitch, but we'll take every game as it comes.
Yes, indeed. And you will hope when the concluding stages of the championship, you will be in a final. And that final, I think, has been played in October.
Yeah, the fixtures were just released there today. So we're setting ourselves up to be in the final. And please God, we get there again this year.
Niamh McPartland, Dunkirn Football Club, Ladies Football Club. You're here at the launch of the Leitrim Championships this evening at the Town Hall Clock in Carrick and Shannon. It's a great occasion. You're looking forward to a good intermediate championship for Dunkirn.
Yeah, PJ, we are. We're all fired up now. We have a good panel of girls there. Management is going well. The team is going well. We're competing now in Division League final now on Monday coming. So we are. So we're hoping for a win out of that and a good win before our first game in August for a championship, first round of championship.
So the league will be an important game, and the league final is a very important game. Obviously, we'll be hoping maybe to get a victory. Your opposition there is?
Our opposition is Mohill, so it is. So we're hoping for a bit of silverware now back to Drumcairn before we tug out for the championship, yeah.
And the championship, intermediate championship in Leitrim is very competitive. A lot of good teams participating. You're looking forward to a good run on it. It's your second year in the championship, is it?
I think it's our second. It's definitely our second or third year in the championship anyways. Yeah, PJ, this is the year for us to do it. We're going fierce well. We've been going fierce well now maybe for the last few years, but this year is the year where we're going to push it on now and try and get the championship back in Drumcairn again, hopefully.
And you have had a good league campaign, obviously, when you got to the final. That's a great situation to be in a build-up to the championship.
Yeah, it is. We're getting on. We got on fierce well this year now in the league. We won 5 from 5 now, and with the final Monday, it's a good preparation before this championship, which will be skin and hair flying, I'm sure, in a few weeks' time. Yeah.
Hopefully not too much skin and hair flying, but there'll be lots of good football. You'll have home and away games, and you're obviously looking probably to win every home game anyway, and see where that takes you maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're going to be ready for whatever face. Like, there's some serious teams in the Intermediate Championship. There always was. You have Mohill and you have St. Bridget's there as well. You know, Leitrim County ladies doing so well as well. A lot of county players playing as well in Intermediate football. So, but I'd be hoping that I'll back us, and I've a feeling we'll do fierce well this year now, yeah.
Amy Fowley, we're here at the Town Clock in Carrick and Shannon for the launch of the Leitrim Ladies Intermediate Championship, the Sweeney's Oil sponsored Leitrim Ladies Intermediate Championship. It's a big time for ladies football, big time for Drumcairn football. You got to the Leitrim Intermediate Championship semi-final last year. You'll be hoping to go one better this year.
Ah, yeah, of course. Like, every year you do aim to get to a final, and we just came up narrowly in the final there last year. We just lost out by a point after leading the full game, so we're kind of hoping to right those wrongs in a way this year and get to it and show what we can do and then build our way on in senior again, hopefully.
That's it, and you've had a good league campaign and you've played a lot of football already this year. That's bound to be a good preparation for the forthcoming championship.
Ah, yeah, of course. We've been preparing really well at training, and we've had a few challenge games as well. And our league campaign, it went well, but we just came up short there in the semi-final against Mohill there last week. So we're hoping to use that as a learning experience for championship and build on it as we go forward then.
Yeah, and obviously there's a lot of experience in your team. You've had a lot of experience yourself at county level. That's bound to be huge for Drumcairn in 2025.
Ah, yeah, like we've a good few players now that have been playing intermediate football for the last few years, so it's great as like the younger players are coming through, so they have somebody to nearly look up to with majority of the players on the team, and especially having Sinead on the team last year as well, she was a great asset to have, and all the girls looked up to her, so yeah.
Yeah, and obviously it's every game, one game at a time. Your home games are important. It's, I would say, very important to win your home games to get into a quarterfinal or whatever final rounds of the championship.
Yeah, I know. We do love having a home game because we get the extra bit of support as well. And there's nothing like playing in Drumahaire on your own pitch. It's a bit of pride in your club, pride in your jersey as well. And we do try and carry that into every game as well.
And with the upgrading of the pitch in Drumahaire in the last few years, it's a wonderful facility for all the players that are playing football in Drumahaire.
Yeah, it's great. They've really put a lot of work into the pitch this year, and we're actually getting it redone now again in the coming weeks. So we'll be extra special now to be playing on the grounds again. So yeah, more to come.
After getting, as I said, to the semi-final last year, you would be a bit disappointed if you didn't get the bigger step and go further to the county final this year.
Oh yeah, of course. We're trying to get over the finish line now this year. Like, we've been into the finals now over the last few years. So just we want to get over the line and show what we can do and then bring it on to senior and give them a go as well.
Jason McAvoy from Sweeney Isle, the new sponsors of the Leitrim Ladies Football Championship. You're very happy to come on board for the Leitrim Football Championships. Of course, Leitrim had a particularly successful year last year, winning the All-Ireland Intermediate Championship. All the players in Leitrim come from the clubs, and the clubs are the heart of the Leitrim Ladies Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're delighted to be the main sponsor of the championship this year, PJ. Sweeney Oil is very much all about supporting local communities, local businesses, local clubs. Anything we can do, we're based all around Connacht. And particularly in Leitrim here, we've great customer base, and we're just delighted to be able to give back to the community and the local clubs in the area.
And you'll be probably attending some of the games and definitely the county finals, where I'm sure you'll be probably presenting trophies, etc., as part of your duties.
Oh, absolutely. Look, if they let a Scammon man into Park Sean, maybe I'll get in safe enough. But I'll definitely be looking to get around a few of the games. I'm finished up playing football myself now, so plenty of time in my hands. So yeah, looking forward to the championship when it gets going in a couple of weeks.
You're a Scammon man, but you have strong Leitrim links, I know. That
I have, don't mention that too many, but yeah, no, I'm a Scammon man, but my wife's from Leitrim and my mother is from here in Carrigan-Shannon, so yeah, I'm a proud half Leitrim man.
You have dual citizenship, in other words. And Sweeney Isle have quite a few connections in Leitrim too.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we like I said, we're based all around Connacht the Main. We started off in 1987 over in Clifton, and over the last couple of years we've built into Roscommon, Leitrim, Sligo, Longford. So yeah, we cover a good part of the country and we employ a lot of people locally, and we recently moved into Sligo as well, which covers all North Leitrim. Fintan, one of our drivers down there, is a proud Leitrim man, so he'd be looking forward to meeting and greeting the local community in the near future.
Jason McAvoy from Sweeney Oil, the new sponsors of the Leitrim LGFA Adult Club Championships. He was speaking there to PJ Leddy. And Glencarmanor Hamilton's pursuit of a sixth women's senior championship title begins this Sunday morning against Kilturbrit at 11 a.m. A reminder, finally, that The Final Whistle is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back next week, same time, same place.